This morning, working all week on my message, and I woke up this morning. Actually, I went to bed last night, and I had a great conference, and had way too much caffeine. I had more coffee than I should have, and so it was a bad combination. I don't know how you guys made out with the time change. So I was kind of going home and kind of amped up on some caffeine and too much sugar, and next thing I know is like 11 o'clock, 11:30, went to bed, lay down, and it was like, and I was like, okay, Lord, knock me out, because morning's going to come early. And this verse kept pawing through my brain, and so I went to sleep with this verse going through. And so I woke up this morning, and typically I get up early before everyone else and shower and clean up for your guys' sake. And then I sit down before anyone else gets up and just kind of go through the sermon again and just kind of touch up on some things. And all the while I'm doing it, I got this verse just wouldn't go away. And so I was like, because, I've stood up here before and said, okay, the Lord just said, okay, change. And it's like, Lord, I've worked all week on this. I'm ready to preach this whole sermon. And he goes, do it next week. I've learned along the way that, okay, Lord, if this is the message you want, that this is for someone. And so maybe this is for you this morning. Or maybe you're just along for the ride. God's working on me, and you just are along for the ride. So buckle up. But there is an encouragement. I mean, going through and looking at what's going on in the world today, I shared and mentioned how, the pandemic, and it's hard to believe, we've had, a little over two years of flattening the curve for 2 weeks, right? Longest 2 weeks of my life has been going on so far. And so the craziness, and of course now we're into a sort of the political season, and so everyone's playing politics with everything because midterms are coming up. And now with the gas prices and grocery prices and everything else going up, I've had to turn off the news for a while to kind of get recentered, because I started getting a little anxious. I know you've been feeling a little bit of that. Okay, how's it all going to work out? We went out the other day and bought, 25 pounds of flour, and bought a bunch of rice. And said, okay, well, things go real bad, we'll make tortillas and rice. All right, we can do that. Good way to lose weight, But in the midst of all this, as we look at the church going forward, I can't help but feel, I want to say encouraged, because I think it really gives us an opportunity to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the darkness gets darker, the light shines brighter. And it gives us an opportunity to shine. And so I think the Lord's really been working on things. Tonight we're starting up the Chosen. It's not just for the church family here, but really to kind of open it up and just draw some people in. Actually, on Facebook, I kind of played on, the gas prices are high. Don't drive anywhere. Stay in town. Come on out. And, put a little tease out there. But the verse that kept going through my mind is in Luke. And this is Jesus talking to Simon, and Jesus is heading towards the cross, and he's trying to prepare his disciples for what is going to come ahead. Now, for the disciples, for now three and a half years have been following Jesus, and they are convinced that he is the Messiah, that he has come to set things right. That he's going to take Rome and drive them out, and he's going to set up his kingdom and Christ will be king. Israel will be back in its glory. And they'll be at peace. And Jesus says, well, that is going to happen, just not right now. I don't like right now, or being told not right now. I like right now, right? I think it's happening now. You guys know I'm not a very patient man in some aspects. I don't like to wait. I get nervous. I pace around. We set up for the men's conference yesterday, and everything was all done and set up, and I'm just wandering around like there's got to be something else. There's got to be something else to do, right? Zach was like, Pastor, sit down. I don't sit well. That's why I'm up here. You're down there. I can move around, right? The least worn spot is right behind the pulpit because I'm everywhere else. And Jesus tells his disciples, and he's trying to warn them. And Jesus turns to Peter, and this is what he says. And the Lord said to Simon, 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 indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, I don't know if you know anything about wheat. I've never sifted wheat. The closest I've probably done anything like that is up north we get fiddleheads. I love fiddleheads, but they're messy. And I remember as a kid, we'd go out and pick a huge garbage bag full of fiddleheads and bring them home and then go in the backyard and take a sheet and kind of wave them up in the air and do all this and try to get them through. We knew a gentleman that took his dryer and ran his fiddleheads through the dryer. I tried to convince my mom to let us do that, and she threatened us that we would die if we put fiddleheads into her dryer. Always looking for a shortcut. But you shake it, right? It's not just a little bit of a shake because you had nothing. But you really got to shake it. You really got to get it going to separate all the brown, yucky stuff. And so what they would do is they would take it out and they would beat on it and thresh it to separate the chaff from the wheat. And then take it out and throw it in the air, let the wind blow away the chaff. And so through that whole process, you're down with a pure product of wheat. Like I said, we bought some flour, and it's like, all right, because talk about now, like I think Ukraine and Russia produce something like 40% of the world's wheat or grain, so grain prices are going to go up. So I was like, all right, we better buy this while we can. But now we have it. Now we're like, okay, how do we store it? And so we're like, because I remember as a kid sometimes picking the flour that my mom has had for a while and open up the bag and there's little critters inside. And my daughter's eyes got real big. She goes, what do you mean there's bugs in flour? I was like, yeah. And she's like, it's protein. It's okay. So now we're in the process. Okay, how do we keep this storage? Because we typically don't use a whole lot of flour, so it's like, okay, now we got to store this and keep it. You don't want anything else crawling around in the flour. And so with that imagery in mind, Jesus tells Simon, right? He says, Simon, coming up, Satan is going to shake you. And it's not going to be fun. And folks, I don't know if I'm just doom and gloom as I'm watching what's going on in the world, but I can't help but think that through this pandemic of 2 years, of going into this time, I think things are going to be tight. I think God is taking this nation and shaking it, but I think he's taking the church and shaking it. I think Satan is at full board attack. You can't help but look at what's going on in this world today and all the things God has established and called good.
Right? God has taken, in the beginning, you take all the things that God created and created good, right? He said he created male and female. Our society is shaking that to its core. I'm trying to redefine it all. The institute of marriage. As God has said, it's good. And Satan is shaking that as going into the church today. And marriages are under so much stress and so much attack today. Pray for our couples. We look at families and children, and it's being shaken. And all these things are taking place, and we're caught in the crosshairs. And I believe that the church of God, Satan has said, God, let me take them and let me shake them and see what comes out. And of course, Satan thinks that he shakes his heart enough that we're going to leave the Savior whom we love. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And this morning, I want to warn you, because of this, trials will come. Trials will come. We've been in a time of trial. You know, I think this nation, we've been blessed so much that there's been a whole lot of middle ground. And I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians have been kind of hanging out in the middle ground. Today there's not a whole lot of middle ground. You stand for truth or not. You're going to stand for God or you're not. And because of that, trials will come upon us. Jesus warns us in John 16. Says that these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen? Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Notice what it says here. Satan asked to do this to you, Peter. God cannot do, Satan cannot do anything unless God allows it. And God has granted that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The days ahead, the trials will come, the troubles will come, right? And even not even on the global scale, right? I mean, I think things are going to get tight financially. I think we're in for a world of hurt. But while all these are going on, I think there is an anti-God agenda that's being driven and being pushed. Can I tell you, if you're in the process where you've raised your kids, first of all, praise God you're not raising kids in this environment. Amen? Second, I want you to take and pray for those who are raising their kids in this environment. Because they're fighting a system that has a clear agenda to turn our children against God, against parents. I mean, I never would have thought that we would be, as a nation, fighting for parental rights. Our school and our government think our kids belong to them, and they know what's right and wrong. And you're just kind of letting parents, you know, take them home once in a while. But pray for the parents who are making decisions. By groves, that people are taking their kids out of the school system. Praise God for that. And they're homeschooling. They're sending them somewhere else. But pray for those who are in those situations. But we can have peace in the middle of all this, because my peace doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. Right? If my peace comes from my bank account, I'm in trouble. Right? If my peace comes in my security, I am in trouble. But if my peace comes from God, the world can't touch it. And I think that's what confounds the world, because when we are shaken, right? When Satan shakes us, he just thinks we're going to turn our backs on our Lord and Savior. Folks, there's nowhere else to go. But temptations and trials will come. Folks, there is an enemy out there. There is an asserted effort behind this. And what's going on in the world? It says, look what Satan wants to do this, right? Satan is behind this. He's shaking you. And let me tell you something. He knows you. He knows just the buttons to push in you. He knows what causes you to fear and doubt. Right? He knows what buttons to push in your marriage to cause husband and wife the spat. He knows, right? He knows just the thing. And realize that there is someone behind the scenes. It's funny, I think it was junior high. There was this two big kids. And they were in a brawl during recess. You know, I'm young enough to know, remember when recess was kind of like the Wild West. You know? And there's like playground rules. And if you stepped out of line, you know. And I was kind of a mouthy kid. Can you believe that? I wasn't big. I was big. I was skinny. But I was kind of mouthy. But praise the Lord, he gave me fast feet. So I was able to outrun the bigger kids sometimes. But it's funny. There's these two bigger kids. And they're kind of going at it. And they're starting arguing. And in the process, you know, the argument started to escalate. Well, there was this one kid, this little tiny guy. And he'd run up to one guy and says, "You gotta let him say that to you? You gotta let him say that to you?" "Well, no." And so he'd yell back at him, and then he'd run over to the other guy and say, "Well, boys, you know what he said about your mom?" And so these two bigger kids are fighting this little kid and taking a step back. And you're like, this little kid wants a fight. And he's just going along, and he's just egging them on, and he's just feeding into it. And the two were so involved in their strife that like they had no clue that they really didn't want to fight each other. They were just being manipulated by this little guy. Right? And you know how that's like. I mean, it's funny how much life is like junior high. Facebook. It's just a big junior high. All full of drama, right? And you got people who go on there and will post, "Stir the pot." And you know, and I'm like, Proverbs tells us that, look, if you get into involved in a fight that's not your own, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. I love that visual, right? Because you grab, you know, imagine grabbing a big angry pit bull by the ears. How do you let go? Because guess who's going to get bit? You are, right? So if you get involved in a fight that's not your own, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. Don't do it. But we see it all the time, right? There's someone who's just stirring the pot. And I think most of us at some point in time has had someone, maybe it's even a relative or friend, who will get in and try to cause problems in your marriage. Will just be like, "Are you going to take that?" I remember I was newly married, and you know, the product you see today is years of training. My wife has trained me. You can say, "Well, Pastor, you should see what I was." It's been 34 years of training. You know, little treats and pats on the heads, and all right, you're a good boy, okay. Don't do that, bad newspaper. No. But we were newly married, and I remember someone was asking, let's go do something. You know, us guys will go off and do something. And I was young and inexperienced and really stupid. And I was like, okay. And then I talked to my wife, and she'd be like, "No, we have plans that night, or you can't do that, right?" And I'm, you know, okay. And so I went back, and I said, I really can't because, you know, my wife said I couldn't. Oh, the all ball and chain, right? Are you going to let that little woman push you around? And are you going to do that? And, you know, like I said, I was young and stupid. I was like, well, no, she's not going to boss me around. I'm the man. I wear the pants in the family. And, right, I'm the head of the home. And, you know, all right, woman, this is how it's going to go down. Stupid. Can I say stupid from the pulpit? All right. Right? I was like, And it took some training, right? Because it's eager. You know, it's funny, these guys who weren't married were so eager to stir the pot, right? Get me all eagered up to cause problems. And now I know after 34 years, one of the first things, hey, that's, you know what? Let me check with my wife. Ooh, okay. It doesn't bother me anymore, right? I got nothing to prove, right? You know what? I go home with my wife, right? I'll go home with you. But there are people out there. There are enemies. And when you look at this, what's going on in our life, there isn't any behind the scenes. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Look at what's going on in your life. There's a spiritual warfare going on. And there is a demonic force behind the scenes putting these things in place. He's playing on your fears. He's playing on your worries. He's turning you against the things that you know you should do. And he knows just the buttons to do it. And when you open your eyes and see that, it's like two bullies on the field who turn around and, hey, look, it's this little guy who's causing the problem. I'm not falling for it. Lord, open my eyes. There is an enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, Peter says. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to see if you're going to flinch and run. Now, I've never been face-to-face with a lion, but I've learned a long time ago that if you see as kind of a scary dog, don't run. Right? Because they can run faster than you. And that just eggs them on. Satan's the same way. As long as you stand firm, he can't do anything to you. But when you run, he's got you. And Satan, the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. Folks, the product that Satan has is destruction. He's looking to destroy this country. He's looking to tear down this church. He's looking to destroy your marriage. He's looking to destroy your relationship with your children. That's all he can do. Satan just destroys. But it's Jesus that gives life. And notice what this verse goes on. It says, look, but we have an advocate. Praise God. We're not in this battle alone. Right? It was just up to me. I couldn't do it. Right? I picked myself up on my bootstraps. You know, I tried that once. You know what happens? I just fall down. Right? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it myself. Now, it sounds really macho when we say it. But have you ever dealt with a little kid? Let me help you. Right? My oldest was really good at that. I'm going to do this myself. But you can't do it yourself. I do it myself. All right, go ahead. Let's see how this is going to work. Right? We were in a grocery store, and there was a 50-pound bag of potatoes, and my oldest was really little, and we're in the store, and she goes, I'm going to do it myself. You can't, look, we'll do it together, right? I'll help you, right? Every time, you know, so you let the little kid grab it, and, you know, and I think sometimes that, you know, because I always did that, you know, hey, I'll help, okay. And so they put their arms on it, and you actually pick it up, but they think they're helping. And I think maybe what happened was after a while, she's like, oh, I can do this. So we're in the store. It's like, all right, we're going to put this in the cart. And she was like, I'm going to do it myself. He was the, okay, go ahead. You know? So she pulled it out, and she's on the, you know, she couldn't figure out, like, wait a minute, I did this before. She didn't realize the father was there doing it, and she was just going along. So she thought she did it. Christian, you see the picture. Sometimes when we go through life, we're thinking, hey, I'm doing this. I got this, God. I don't need you anymore. And God's like, no, 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 no. I was doing it before. I was just letting you help. But we get arrogant. We think we got this. God, I don't need you anymore, right? I'm a big boy now. I got my big boy pants on. What happened? It was my father doing it all the time. And we go through life. We are not designed to do this alone. We have an advocate with the Father. Look what happens here. Jesus tells Simon this, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Jesus says, look, Satan's asked, and God's given permission for him to shake you. And it's going to be hard. It's not going to be fun. But Jesus is praying for him. He's there. And the struggles that we're having today, Jesus is there. When we go forward, Jesus is already there. He knows what's going to happen. And I dare not lose my sight of him. Because God, who is faithful, will continue to be faithful. Amen? We have an advocate with the Father. And all these things is therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost to those who come to God through him, since he always makes intercession for them. That Jesus is up in heaven pleading my case. When I fail, when I falter, Jesus says, I paid for that. When I don't know how to pray, ever been that way? I'll tell you, going up ahead, I don't know how to pray. Right? I can lay out my will, but I don't know my will is the best way. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, this is it. And God takes that. And he intercedes to the Father on our behalf of what we do need. As long as we seek out his will. Not my will, but your will be done. And praise God. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and overcome them because, I want you to read this with me, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Is God more powerful than Putin? Oh, yeah. Is God more powerful than any of the politicians here in the United States? Amen. And I don't care what party he is. You know, I'm not looking for them to answer the solution. They're not the answer. It's not. Okay, Lord, let me keep my eyes on you. Because God's greater. And he's in control. You know, I don't know how it's all going to work out. God has not given me that information, you know. I'll go on YouTube or turn on the TV and I hear some of these evangelists and they speak with so certainty. And you're like, you know, God told me this, right? I talked to God this morning and this is what he told me. And like, I've never had God show up in my house and say, okay, John, you know what? This is what's going to happen today. I've never had that. You know? But I do know I just need to follow him day by day.
Pastor, he did show up at your house. He told you what sermon to preach.
He told me. It's just a sensitive, you know, like I said, it's you know, like I said, I grew up hardcore Baptist. So it's like, you know, we're going to think I'm Pentecostal. But the Spirit does move us and talk us. I just mean, I got a text from him. But I just need to be sensitive to him and say, okay, Lord, I want to follow you. But to be honest, like I said, this morning I was wrestling, okay, this is the message, so there's probably a whole bunch of typos and everything else because I was putting this all together literally at the last second. I'm not sure how this sermon's going to end because I haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, I'm like, okay, God, was I not listening to you 2 weeks ago when I planned this, you know? And so it's like, you know, God, you have that message for the other day. But it's interesting because we look at this and I think today we just need this message today.
The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. The strength for today, isn't that enough? Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. The worries of today are enough. Lord, you know what? I don't know.
I just shared with you, I ordered fuel oil last week because I'm like, the price is jumping like, I don't know, $10 a day. I don't know what's going on. And so I called. I said, well, we better order. I need to have a take. I better order now before it goes up even more. So I talked to the person. I said, oh. And I said, well, we'll deliver it. I said, great. I said, when are you coming? Next week. And I was like, well, can I lock in today's price? And she's like, well, no. Well, you get the price wherever that delivery day is. I was like, well, hurry up. You know? And I find myself, okay, Lord, you know. You know, right now, praise God, I can write the check. I can do that. Today, let me worry about today. And let me follow you today. And there's peace in that. And I need to remind myself. I did something I always try not to do. Because Facebook, I only got on Facebook since the pandemic. So I've always said, okay, I'm going to try to keep it, focus on church and Christ. And so the other day I came home, like I said, just filled up the gas tank, and I was, so I went home and I was like, drill, baby, drill. I'm just like, we need, and I was just, I posted a thing and then, I'm like, and I posted some news links that go along with it, I was like, and Cindy walks in the room, she looks at me like, he's like, what's up? She goes, I probably shouldn't have done it. And she goes, what did you do? I said, I posted. But I said, it's okay. Because I was right. And so as soon as I closed it up, I posted that. And a few people posted on there. And I was like, because I don't want to get into an argument. And I was like, uh-oh. And I was like, I would hate to have someone turned off from the gospel, right? I want to be that source of telling people the truth. And if I turn people away with my politics, that they no longer listen to the message, then that's, right? And so I was like, oh, okay, this is turning bad, because I don't want to be that, And so I posted back a few things, it was still kind of, and as soon as I closed that off, I guess God showed up. And as soon as I closed that off, the top thing on my newsfeed, I think that's what it's called, right? The newsfeed there, because that's all I go to. I don't go anywhere. But at the top of my newsfeed, there's a video of a pastor, and he's like, I'm at the gas pump, and I was going to come in here and post about how bad the gas price is. I was like, yeah, you preach it. And he goes, I was going to do that. He goes, but the Holy Spirit convicted me that I need to be thankful. And he goes, so from this post, I'm going to say, thank you, God, for providing for my needs. He's like, have a good day. I was like, oh, conviction. Oh. And so I turned around and posted that. And I was like, all right, who's convicted now? But I left the other thing down below. I was like, it's kind of done, but it's still there. It's still kind of. And so a pastor friend of mine, I went out, his post, because soon after that, he posted on his page, and it came up on my feed, because once again, I don't do the whole Facebook, whatever doesn't show up is what I look at, and so he popped up there, and he goes, a pastor friend of mine, John Tabor, from Stockton Springs Community Church, just convicted me with his post of posting this other pastor, and he goes, I've gone back in all my posts, and I'm going to do what he did, and delete all my other political posts. Oh! Because I left it on, so I was like, Cindy, I need to go back and totally erase that other post on there because, it's like, all right, so that's gone. And what we find in all this is, folks, when we do these things and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you, right? Lord, greater are you that is in me than he is in the world, right? Lord, I'm sorry I'm fighting with my wife because of my pride. I'm of all these things, Lord, I'm sorry. But you know what? I'm going to mess up again. I'm going to mess up again. Jesus told Peter, says, look, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Because what's going to happen is that night Jesus is going to be arrested.
And that night, Jesus turned to him and warned him. And Peter's like, oh, not me. Oh, no, never, right? Look what he says here in Luke 22. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Lord, I will die for you. Right? You ever get that? You know, you go home from church, you're like spiritual high. I'm like, woohoo! Yes! All right, Lord. This is it. Right? You come back from a man's conference. All right, I'm going to be the husband. Oh, yeah. Then you walk in, and then real life hits you, and the kid and the wife and the job and the finances and all that hits you in the face. You're like, right? I'm going to go fill the gas tank and be like, I'd be tempted. Can you block yourself on Facebook? I don't know. It'd be like, I'm like, no, right? And I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall for Satan's traps. Satan's just like, here he goes. All right? Here we go again. Watch this. And Peter's just like so full of himself. Oh, not me, Lord. And Jesus says to him, and then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you would deny me three times that you know me. And Peter's like, no way. Of course, we know the story. Jesus followed the crowd and wanted to keep eyes on Jesus. And guess what? Three times he let him down. And it haunted Peter. And Jesus died and rose again. And we find Peter off fishing again. He went back to what Jesus called him away from. He went back. So imagine, he's like, how can I ever go back? How I messed up so bad. And folks, as we look at these things, we face the days ahead, it's so easy to be so arrogant and so puffed up, and I got all the answers. And Paul tells the Corinthians, this is therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he what? Fall. Psalmist said this, Proverbs says this, the pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The arm of flesh will fail you. I believe as the days get harder and the choices get tougher, folks, we are going to need the Holy Spirit like we've never needed before to show me what is right and to stand on what is right and to do what is right. Though it may cost us. You know, it's easy to praise the Lord during the good times. I'll be a Christian who praises him in the hard times because he's still faithful. But we can't do it in the flesh. And when I fail, I will fail. I will falter. Someone asked, goes, how long have you been pastoring here? We were just talking, I was talking to a gentleman, and I said, in June it'll be 6 years. I'm like, you guys have put up with me for 6 years. Lord, help you. And in 6 years, I have faltered and I have failed. I've made mistakes. I probably disappointed some of you. And for that, I'm sorry. But hopefully, in the middle of those 6 years, I got voices. In the middle of those 6 years, hopefully God has used me and funneled through me his love, his compassion along the way. Because anything I've done in the flesh has just been that. It's been empty. But anything I've done in the spirit, it's only through his mercy and in his grace. And Lord willing, if you put up with me another 6 years, you will forgive the faltering and the failures. And hopefully see the Christ in me. 34 years of marriage. Pray for my wife. I may seem like an easy guy to live with.
I'm like, ugh! No. And I have failed miserably oftentimes. But hopefully in the midst of it all, the Lord has used me to love her and my family, to do what is right in his sight. You see how that works? This isn't about being perfect. Satan knows that. He plays on it. But Jesus knows that as well. And he still calls us and encourages us and blesses us. Because at the end of the day, you know what? When we falter in the midst of all this, when Satan shakes us and we will stumble, God forgives. Amen? Luke goes on, Jesus tells him, and he said to them, Lord, I am ready to go to both the prison and the death. And he said to them, Peter, you will deny me three times. He knew. But praise God, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness? Yeah. Folks, there is nothing that you can do that God didn't already know you're going to do. And he loves you anyways. And there is nothing that you have done that his grace and his blood isn't greater than. Romans 5 says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abound, grace abounds much more. Whatever we're going through, we press on. Because God has great things in store if we follow him. And great things in store, I don't mean by money and wealth. And, you know, I was thinking that, well, we set up in the June, we have the annual business meeting and budgets and all those things. And it's like, oh, all right, what's gonna happen? All right, Lord, help me just be faithful. Help me just follow you going forward. Help me love the people that are around me with the love of the Lord. Help me share Jesus while I have time. Help me to stand upon your word and upon your truth. I love that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, so no one go with me, still I will follow. Satan is looking to shake us, folks. And probably, this sermon is probably 2 years late because I think he's been shaking us now for at least 2 years. And I think some of you have been struggling prior to that. Satan just doesn't give up. He doesn't tire. And he comes back and again and again. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the patience of these folks tonight. So look into your word. Challenge us with these truths. Lord, our world is being shaken. Lord, our nation is being shaken. Our families and our very lives. But we are more than conquerors through you, Lord. I can't do it on my own. It's not a matter of will, Lord. It's not a matter of determination. Lord, the arm of flesh will fail me. But Lord, help me to stand upon you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I falter, Lord, help me to pick myself up, fall myself at your knees before your face, Lord. Confess my sin, and you forgive us. You are the God of the second, third, fourth chance. And Lord, help us to press on until you come. Even so quickly, come, Lord Jesus, come. And all God's people said, amen.